Chapter 5. The Circle of Consonants. Ax Angelicum, Baal. The Quorum Empiric had gathered deep in the undercroft of the Carcere Arcanum, the place Mephiston was most likely to be found when not ensconced in his own chambers. The gloomy, brick-built vaults were one of the oldest parts of the librarium, and they were a good match for his saturnine character. Dark, labyrinthine, and unwelcoming. It was also here that the Blood Angels kept their most dangerous relics, so it seemed a sensible place for the chief librarian to spend his hours. It was to Mephiston the chaptermaster would turn if any of the items locked in the carcere were to ever gain their freedom. The Quorum Empiric was Mephiston's conclave of trusted advisers, consisting of his most powerful librarians, as well as other distinguished officers of the chapter. These luminaries were seated around Mephiston on a circle of stone chairs in the central chamber of the Undercroft, a meeting place known as the Circle of Consonants. They had been summoned to discuss the terrible events in the Ostensorio. The ceiling of the Undercroft had crumbled away many centuries earlier, and a column of green, moss-infused light poured down from the halls above, giving the scene a subaqueous quality. Mephiston was staring into this emerald tower of light, studying dust motes as they flashed and danced. He seemed akin to the dust. The abyssal light made his sunken features as ghoulish as anything in the surrounding crypts. He looked to Antros like a piece of carrion, preserved in chemicals for an esoteric rite. If Antros had wished to, he could have used his enhanced vision to discern the distant, domed ceiling of the upper levels, hundreds of feet above. At present, however, he was oblivious to the tumble-down beauty of the ruined cellars. He was thinking instead of the elevated company he was keeping. The summons that Mephiston promised Antros on Thermia 5 had finally come, but he had not expected the meeting to be anything as grand as this. He glanced around the circle, wondering if anyone would dare to question the chief librarian on the madness he had unleashed in the Ostensorio. Epistolary Racilus showed no sign of concern, of course, despite having locked horns with the behemoth that destroyed half the Ostensorio. Mephiston's equerry was as venerable and immobile as his ancient stone chair. He was watching the chief librarian with the same expression of haughty disdain he always wore. Nostrils flared as though smelling something unpleasant, lip curled, one eyebrow raised. He was unarmored, but the lack of greaves and pauldrons did not make him any more human. He was as perfectly made as all blood angels. Beneath his simple red surplice, the iron-hard architecture of his massive superhuman physique was visible, but, like all of his kind, he displayed a perfection that was almost disturbing when seen close up. He had the exaggerated, imperious features of a classical statue. Racilus was ancient, even by Blood Angel standards, and not above reminding his subordinates of the fact. Antros had heard him describe his role in conflicts that were footnotes in some of the librarium's oldest texts. His white hair was oiled and gleaming, and the harsh angles of his jaw were softened by a short, silver beard. But the years had left a more unusual mark on him. So many centuries of staring into the immaterium had given his eyes a strange cobalt sheen. They were iridescent, like the eyes of a cat, flickering as though lit from behind. He raised his hand in a slow, regal movement, and a scrum of robed blood thralls rushed from the shadows. He took a chalice from a proffered tray, sipped from it, then dismissed the servants with a wave of his finger. Seated near the brothers of the Librarius was the veteran battle brother who had admitted Antros to the Ostensorio, Captain Vitrinus. As Antros looked his way, he guessed that Vitrinus would be the one to challenge Mephiston's actions. Unlike Epistolary Racilus, Captain Vitrinus could not hide his outrage at what had happened in the Ostensorio. There were a few fresh scratches on his Mark 7 plate, but it was his face that showed the real impact of the fight. His jaw was jutting out, and his deep-set eyes were simmering beneath his heavy brow. The idea that the Ax Angelicum could be attacked in such a way had left him wide-eyed with indignation. For the moment, Captain Vitrinus held his ire in check, So Antros turned from the battle brothers of the fourth company and looked at the one member of the Quorum Empiric not seated in a chair. Scholiast Imola was the most senior chapter serf in the librarium, oldest of all the scholiasts. The chief librarian had spoken often of Imola's fathomless wisdom, and despite being a mortal, she was regularly admitted to his inner council. Imola's ancient form was preserved in an ornate bronze casket called an Imbrian, which had been carried to the meeting in a mechanical palanquin that walked on dozens of hydraulic legs. The top of the palanquin was a seething nest of serpentine limbs, clad in ribbed steel and ending in a mixture of styluses, claws and lenses that cradled the little chest. The centre of the casket was filled with crimson liquid, but it was just possible to make out her small, fetal shape floating in the solution, pale, blind, and suspended by rubber umbilical cords. Antros turned his gaze to the other side of the circle, and the only non-Barlight members of the meeting. The emissaries of the Adeptus Ministorum lacked the martial perfection of the Space Marines, but they were imbued with another equally potent power, a faith so furious that it inured them to the simple privations of the flesh. A mixture of passion and devotion radiated from their bleached faces, as vivid as the light shining from Rasilus's eyes. Two of them were physically present, and a third appeared in the form of a flickering hololith. The projected priest was the same senior prelate Antros had seen in the Ostensorio, and he had been introduced to the Quorum as Confessor Zin. Zin's image was hanging a few feet above the ground, at the centre of the circle of stone chairs. His likeness was now life-sized, rather than the colossal figure Antros had witnessed in the Ostensorio.
"My Lord Mephiston," said Captain Vitrinus, unable to hold back his outrage any longer, "we have assured you that all necessary measures have been taken to secure the Ostensorio. Epistolary Rasilus has spoken at great length of the psychic wards he has employed to seal the breach in real space, and I have detailed the work of my squads."
His tone was bullish.
"Chief Librarian, will you explain what you are attempting? I do not understand much of what occurs in the Librarius, but this was more shocking than anything I have seen before, my lord," he said, making no effort to hide his disapproval. "What was so important that you had risked the sanctity of our fortress monastery?"
Mephiston fixed his gaze on Captain Vitrinus.
"They were vermin," he said quietly. "Nothing more. The Arx Angelicum was never in danger."
His words flowed into each other, heavy with an odd mixture of accents, making it hard to catch his meaning.
"Lord Mephiston," said the hololith of Confessor Zin, his jowly features trembling, "perhaps I could illuminate your counsel on why you risk such hazardous methods."
Vitrinus looked appalled by the mere existence of the priest, but Mephiston gave him a vague nod. Zin's eyes flashed triumphantly, and he cast his gaze around the members of the Quorum.
"Labour lords of the Librarius, Mephiston has admitted me into his most sagacious gathering because the time has come for plain speech. You should know that I have seen your master's name written in the funeral pyres of 1,000 loyal souls. For nearly a decade, the God Emperor has filled my dreams with visions of Mephiston and Mephiston alone, calling me hither. Lords of the Librarius, you should know that it has been prophesied that Lord Mephiston is the Astra Angelus."
Zin's hand trembled as he snatched a medallion hung around his neck and held it up as though it explained his words. The design was impossible to make out through the interference of the transmission, but he waved it at them as proof.
10 long years ago, the jewel of the Cronian sector, Divinus Prime, was stolen from the light of the Emperor, snatched from the sight of even the most determined astropathic choirs. But it has been written in the blood of our holy martyrs that Mephiston will one day lead us back there, lead us to the site of our most hallowed shrines. What you saw in the Ostensorio was proof that this could be done. Mephiston has travelled through the Immaterium unaided.
Captain Vitrinus glanced at Epistolary Racilus, disbelief clearly written across his face. His eyes widened in shock as Racilus looked calmly back at him, confirming the priest's outlandish claim through silent assent. Zin raised his voice, perhaps sensing the captain's doubt even from across the galaxy.
Every one of my visions and prophecies has proven to be true. The ritual in the Ostensorio achieved something incredible and divine. Your lord travelled safely through the warp and located the stolen world of Divinus Prime. He has pinpointed the location of a place that the rest of the Imperium cannot even see.
Zin lowered the medallion and collapsed back in his chair, exhausted by his own fervour, looking expectantly at Mephiston to continue the tale. The chief librarian remained silent, and Zin leaned closer, triggering a burst of interference that sheared his head, creating a double-headed, shimmering phantom.
Lord Mephiston, will you not tell us all what you saw? I have travelled across half the galaxy to see you. I have faced...
His words faltered.
I have faced things that I will not easily forget, and lost many friends. But I will reach Baal within days, Mephiston.
His tone became desperate.
Now that I am so close, I beg you to tell me what you have learned. You have achieved the impossible. What did you see, my lord? I must know!
Antros bridled at the priest's tone. For a mortal to demand information from one of the Adeptus Astartes was shocking, but to speak in such a way to the chief librarian of the Blood Angels was incredible. Antros saw that he was not the only one to note the break of protocol. Captain Vitrinus's face had flushed a dangerous red, and he had clenched his teeth together with the strain of staying quiet. Mephiston remained motionless. He paid no attention to the priest and continued watching the spiralling dust with a cold, reptilian stillness.
"Divinus Prime is no ordinary world,"
whispered Confessor Zin, attempting to snap Mephiston out of his reverie.
"I must know how we can recover it."
The two other priests echoed the words, "Divinus Prime," in awed whispers.
"We are at the very gates of damnation, Esra Angelus," continued Zin. "The very gates."
He plucked a leather-bound book from his robes and began quoting from it, his voice shaking with passion.
"On the banks of the Esser Minor, before the walls of Volgatus, was his wrath made manifest."
"His wrath," whispered the other priests.
500 were the foes he cast onto the earth," continued Zin. 5 times 5 were the walls that toppled before his voice. Behold, the brazen beasts of the..."
"Confessor Zin," interrupted Mephiston, finally breaking his silence. There was something dangerous about his soft tones, and the priests hushed. Then Mephiston seemed to notice something odd about his hand. It was clenched into a fist, but Mephiston stared at it as though he had not willed his fingers to close. He paused, neglecting to finish his sentence, as he slowly opened his fingers and placed his hand back on the arm of the chair.
"Yes?"
demanded Zin. After a few seconds, Mephiston looked up from his hand and continued in the same flat, dispassionate voice.
"You need not quote me the vicissitudes in its entirety."
There was no anger in his voice, just quietly stated fact.
"I have read all 5 translations.
He nodded at the book in Zin's hand.
"Eularius missed most of the original intent, but I have a copy of the Pindarus that I could lend you."
Epistolary Racilus snorted in amusement, but Zin's disappointment changed to frustration.
"What did you see, Chief Librarian?"
he snapped.
"What did you find? You were gone for 12 days. What has happened to Divinus Prime?"
"This is too much,"
growled Captain Vitrinus, leaning forwards in his chair and glaring at Zin.
"You will not speak to the Chief Librarian in such a way."
Mephiston raised a hand, and Antros saw that he was listening to a distant voice. He could even hear the exact words, lisping and hissing in his lord's thoughts. They were spoken in ragged tones.
"We are what our scars have made us. We are born in blood."
The words were accompanied by a familiar vision. The same lidless, flayed, veiled face Antros had seen on Thermia. The words and the face vanished as quickly as they came, and Antros realized that he had read Mephiston's thoughts again. The idea unnerved him. Mephiston's mind was not for him to see. Such insight was heretical.
"Your cardinal world still exists, Confessorzin," Mephiston said, looking at the priest directly for the first time, and moving forwards so that light spilled across his face.
Mephiston's features must once have matched the beauty of his battle brothers, but his face was now a shattered death mask, a bleached collision of jagged angles and harsh lines, all pointing to his intense, unblinking eyes. Zin's hololith squirmed and looked away, visibly shaken by Mephiston's gaze.
"Are you sure? Divinus Prime is safe?"
Mephiston raised an eyebrow.
"Safe? No, it is not safe. Nothing in the Cronian sector is safe, Confessorzin. You of all people should know that. The Wars of Sanctitude are no nearer completion than when we began prosecuting them, a century ago. But..."
He paused and looked into the shadows.
"But Divinus Prime still exists. I spent several hours there."
He frowned in distaste.
"It is a mess, like the rest of the sector."
The priests made the sign of the Aquila at this and looked aghast, and Confessor Zin stared across the galaxy, attempting to look Mephiston in the eye. Even as a projection, there was no mistaking his alarm.
"Divinus Prime is hallowed ground,"
he whispered, his voice trembling with emotion.
"It is forbidden to all but the most senior members of the Ecclesiarchy. With respect, my lord, you were never given permission to go there."
Aloof as he was, even Rasilus balked at the words, "given permission."
"You asked the chief librarian to find your world, Confessor Zin," he drawled, not deigning to look at the priest. "And he found it."
His words washed across the gathering, gravelly and languid.
"A little gratitude might suit you better than this disrespect."
Zin's eyes widened in fear, but he bit back a reply. He looked at someone else in the strategium of the frigate that was hurtling him towards Baal. He nodded and turned back to Mephiston. When he spoke again, it was with a more emollient tone.
"The priest I saw you holding in the sacristy, my lord, was he from Divinus Prime? Was he one of my own order?"
Mephiston nodded.
"Prester Coeth."
The look of distaste remained on his face.
"A luckless pawn, caught up in a pointless schism, confused by his own transgressions."
"Transgressions? Schisms?"
exclaimed Zin.
I assure you, Chief Librarian, there are no heretics on Divinus Prime. It is not possible."
Mephiston held up his hand.
"The sector is dancing to a tune not of our making, Confessor. Would that it were otherwise."
He shrugged.
"But I did not say Prester Coeth was a heretic. The idea of heresy had barely taken shape in his mind when I lifted him from his home."
Mephiston glanced past the hololith and looked directly at Antros. Antros stiffened as Mephiston's corpse-cold eyes locked onto his, giving him the dreadful sensation that his soul was being flayed. Had the chief librarian sensed that Antros was prying into his thoughts? Had he brought him here to denounce him before the quorum as a heretic? Antros tried to look calm, as Rasilus and the other librarians watched him with grim countenances.
"Then he still lives?"
asked Confessor Zin, ignorant of the glances being directed at Antros.
"You have a survivor from Divinus Prime here, in your librarium?"
Hope kindled in his red-rimmed eyes, and he clutched his medallion, mouthing a prayer.
"I would beg that you hand him over to my brethren immediately," he said, "and then you can fulfill the holy mission allocated to you by the God Emperor himself by showing me how I find the banks of the Esimino and the sacred gates of Volgatus."
Mephiston continued to look at Antros.
Prester Coath glimpsed the corner of a truth and believed it to be dreadful. But truths are only dreadful when one is unable to understand the entire form.
He spoke in the same quiet, impenetrable tones he always used, but Antros had the horrible feeling he was being warned, perhaps even threatened.
"Chief Librarian," groaned Zin, "do you realize how you're tormenting me? You talk of transgressions and schisms while refusing to give me a direct answer. Can you lead us to Divinus Prime? We cannot simply abandon our brethren to the mysteries of the warp. The vow must be honored. We must find a way to bring them home."
For the first time since the conclave began, Mephiston focused all of his attention on the priest. Something flickered in his eyes, and he sat upright in his chair.
"The vow."
Confessor Zin looked away with an awkward expression.
"Just like me, those poor souls on Divinus Prime swore a vow to the God Emperor."
Mephiston fell quiet again, but this was a different kind of silence. He was staring at the sweating priest, his whole body rigid with concentration. He tilted his head back, and a crimson sheen washed over his eyes. They became featureless red orbs, giving Mephiston an even more disturbing appearance. Confessor Zin looked anxiously to his unseen advisers for guidance. Mephiston blinked the blood from his eyes and looked at the two priests who were in the chamber. His whole demeanour had changed. The full, unnerving force of his gaze was now locked on the members of the quorum. It was as though he had emerged from a drug-induced haze. When he spoke to Zin again, his voice was clear and distinct.
"The name Astra Angelus is unfamiliar to me, Confessor Zin, and I have never seen the banks of the Esimino. But your visions have not led you astray. I do see the world you have lost, and I may be willing to help. We will talk more when you reach Baal."
Zin looked panicked as he realized he was being dismissed.
"Chief Librarian, I have not finished. I beg that you listen to—"
Mephiston glanced at the hololithic projector, and it died with a rattle of slowing cogs, ending Zin's plea mid-sentence. As their prelate vanished from view, the two hooded priests rose to their feet.
"Lord Mephiston,"
protested one of them. Mephiston gave him a dark glance, and the priest's words caught in his throat.
"This will require some careful thought," said Mephiston. "Rasilus will summon you when I am ready."
The ecclesiarchs backed away from their chairs, alarmed, as Mephiston stood, towering over them. Zin's brethren muttered anxiously as they were led away from the undercroft, shepherded down the crumbling colonnades of the Carceri Arcanum by one of Captain Vitrinus's battle brothers. Once the priests had left, Mephiston sat down in his chair and stared up through the ragged hole in the ceiling, studying the glittering dust motes again. He remained like that for several minutes, and an awkward silence descended over the quorum. Rasilus spoke up.
Chief Librarian, our failures in the Cronian sector are no secret. The Wars of Sanctitude have claimed dozens of worlds, and we still have no idea who is behind all these absurd schisms. And the Adeptus Ministerum know we are in the dark. Why have they approached you about Divinus Prime?"
Mephiston looked at his circle of advisers, as though noticing them for the first time. Then he shook his head.
"Rasilus, what did you say?
Why have these priests approached you about the destruction of Divinus Prime?"
"Destruction? Divinus Prime has not been destroyed, Epistolary Rasilus. It has been stolen, plucked from the air like a conjurer's prop."
Mephiston clicked his long, tapered fingers and stared at them.
"And now, Zin's visions have brought him to my door.
Racilus laughed.
You mean this Astra Angelus nonsense?
Mephiston nodded. I do not recognize that title, but I have felt a call. A call similar to the one Zinn has felt. I felt something long before Zinn petitioned Commander Dante and asked to approach me. And I have seen other things. Other things that seem to concern Divinus Prime.
He glanced at Antros, as though expecting him to speak.
My lord,
said Scholiast Imola. Her words were relayed through a vox unit attached to the side of the Embryon, emerging as a reedy, metallic whisper.
I am surprised to see Confessor Zinn make such a fool of himself. He was practically lecturing you. Whatever affection he holds for this particular cardinal world, it's strange even for a priest to behave quite so absurdly. What do you think has driven him to speak like that?
Racilus let out another derisive snort.
These ill-bred fanatics have no concept of manners or rank.
He watched the receding figures of the priests sneering as they slipped from view.
But then, who does these days? There was a time when the lower orders understood their place.
There is more to this cardinal world than he's telling me, Scholiast Imola, replied Mephiston. That's why he behaves so oddly. He's only giving me half a story, which is why I went to see the place for myself.
He looked down at his hand, noticing that it was clenched into a fist again. With an odd grimace, he slowly spread his fingers.
I must look into this further.
With that, Mephiston dismissed the quorum. Captain Vitrinus and his men were ordered back to the Ostensorio to continue the slow, careful work of reconsecrating the ruins, while most of the librarians headed back to their own chambers. Mephiston requested the presence of Antros and Racilus in his private quarters. As they left the Undercroft and travelled up through the Carceri Arcanum, heading back towards the upper levels of the Librarium, Epistolary Racilus held up a hand to Mephiston, signalling that he wished to speak with him alone. Mephiston waved Antros on, and the two old warriors stepped through an archway into a shadowy antechamber at the side of the passageway. They were in a part of the Carceri Arcanum called the Sacellum of Lineaments, a maze of galleries designed to illustrate the incredible variety of Xenos species, crushed by the chapter since the earliest days of the Great Crusade. Each chamber was lined with rows of marble plinths, and on top of each plinth was a bust, carefully sculpted to resemble the head of a bested alien foe. The Blood Angels employed only the most skilled artisans, and the busts were terrifying in their realism. Racilus and Mephiston came to a halt near the head of a huge, one-eyed raptor, its cruel beak open in an eternal, soundless scream. Racilus looked around the room, and when he was sure they were alone, his habitually scornful expression softened a little. He clasped the shoulder pad of Mephiston's battle plate and leant close to him.
"Tell me the truth, Calistarius." His strange eyes flickered with concern. "I have not seen you since Thermia. Is it getting worse?"
Mephiston's expression remained as impenetrable as ever, but he did not reprimand Racilus for using his old name, which Racilus took as a good sign. Mephiston slowly removed one of his gauntlets and held up his hand. Racilus muttered a curse as he saw that Mephiston's skin was rippling with dark fire. Black, brittle flames danced across his knuckles and sparked between his fingers. In places, the darkness had entirely replaced the skin, turning Mephiston's hand into a ghostly shadow.
"What is this?" asked Racilus. "The gift. It has been like this since Thermia," said Mephiston. "It will no longer leave me, Racilus, even when I am calm. It is there, constantly. Even now it is battling within me."
He closed his eyes, and the darkness faded.
"I can barely control it anymore. It grows more powerful by the day, but the more I struggle with it, the more I..."
He held up his hand, leaving wisps of shadow in the air as he moved it.
"The more I try to suppress the gift,
the more it consumes me. And it's not just my flesh that is changing. My mind is growing darker, too. I'm intoxicated by it, Raceless. Intoxicated?
Raceless stared at Mephiston's odd, smouldering skin.
But what of Divinus Prime? Do you see hope there or not? Did all those visions mean nothing? You told me someone was calling to you.
Mephiston stared at his hand for a little longer, then muttered an oath and shoved his gauntlet back on.
Someone is calling me. I am sure of it. I hope to find a clear answer there, nor perhaps a clue to the problems in the Cronian sector. But I knew just after a few hours that I had made a pointless journey. After all these visions and messages, Divinus Prime was just another bloodbath. Believers killing believers over some detail of religious doctrine, just as confusing as the rest of the Cronian sector. I have to admit, I returned here baffled, old friend. Neither of my hopes turned out to be true. I found no link between Divinus Prime and the gift, and I found nothing that could point us to the architect of all these insurgencies.
Mephiston frowned.
But now, after listening to Zin's gibberish, I think perhaps the visions do have some worth. Perhaps I missed something on Divinus Prime, something crucial. There might be a way, after all.
Raceless shook his head, confused.
A way to harness the gift? A way to unleash it?
A rare flicker of passion transformed Mephiston's face.
A way to become the weapon the angel wished me to be. A way to fulfill my destiny, to truly grasp what I have been given, and finally name it friend or foe.
Mephiston turned his gaze to the stone bust, staring at the one-eyed eagle.
Do you remember this? He asked. Do you remember the Battle of Catan?
Raceless laughed, a deep, booming sound that echoed through the halls.
I'm not likely to forget it. You didn't show much distinction between friend and foe that day.
Mephiston nodded.
Even then, I realized the truth. The possibilities.
He held out a hand and allowed the dark flames to envelop his gauntlet.
I must believe this power comes from the angel. I have to. But until now, I have never discussed the gift with anyone but you, Raceless.
Raceless blanched.
Until now? Calistarius, are you going to discuss this with others? Is that wise?
He looked around the chamber again, checking they were still alone.
Tell me it will not be Captain Vitrinus. Vitrinus is a good warrior, but he is no scholar. Even after all these decades, I barely understand half of what you have told me of the gift. Imagine how it could seem to him. And remember why he has a place in the quorum. If Vitrinus were to put this in one of his reports to the commander, you would be ruined. The last thing Dante wants is to castigate you, Calistarius, but this is just the kind of thing that might force him to.
Mephiston shook his head.
Not Vitrinus. Antros.
Raceless stepped back, incredulous.
Why in the God Emperor's name would you share such a thing with Lucius? He's barely earned the right to wear his armour.
Raceless looked around the chamber, ensuring that Antros was not in earshot.
How can you expect him to understand? If I am not sufficient to the task, how can he be? If you really need another confidant, there are better options. Why would you choose him?
Mephiston spoke with an uncharacteristic note of emotion.
You are my only friend in this galaxy, Gaius. My only friend. I trust you even when I do not trust myself. I would never have chosen to share this with another, but it was not a choice. He has seen. When I thought everything was lost on Thermia V, he saw into my soul. He even saw the skinless woman that has been calling to me. She is the key to all of this. I know it. I think she may be the one infecting that whole sector with thoughts of sedition and heresy. Some champion of the ruinous powers, perhaps. and maybe Antros can help me discover who she is. He is...
He shook his head, unsure how to continue.
Calistarius, said Rasilas. He has power, I do not deny it.
He shrugged.
No aspirant ever showed such promise before insanguination, and since then he has been even more driven. But I have doubts about him. He is so ambitious, so eager to race ahead. There is a rebellious streak in him, a lack of respect.
He shook his head.
He should not have even been in the Ostensorio yesterday, and he knows that. I never summoned him to the right. Neither did you. So why was he there? He lacks discipline, Calistarius. I know he is gifted, but...
He is gifted in a way we had not foreseen, Gaius. In a way I still do not understand. Something happened on Thermia that created a nexus between us, joining my thoughts to his.
Mephiston studied the black flames licking across his battle plate.
I cannot tell if it will be for good or ill, but Antros has found his way into my future. Our fates are bound.